From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his third message in a series on the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, that blessed chapter often referred to as Faith's Hall of Fame. In the course of this series, Dr. Cairns will apply the faith of the various characters to the lives of Christ's people in our day. Today, he is dealing with the first person mentioned in the chapter, Abel. Here we have the first example of the faithful in the Bible. The Bible's testimony to Abel's faith shows that it is not how long we live, but how we live that is important in God's sight. In the course of this message, we'll see that Abel refused a religion of works righteousness. Rather, he approached God in the only way God will accept, on the basis of the sacrifice of the Lamb. By faith in this substitutionary sacrifice, Abel obtained assurance that he was accepted in the sight of God. Here's a beautiful picture of the truth of justification by faith in Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message called Justifying Faith. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 23 and verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. Amid the rabble-rout which hounded the Redeemer to his doom, there were some gracious souls whose bitter anguish sought vent in wailing and lamentations, fit music to accompany that march of woe. When my soul can, in imagination, see the Savior bearing his cross to Calvary, she joins the godly women and weeps with them. For indeed there is true cause for grief, cause lying deeper than those mourning women thought. They bewailed innocence maltreated, goodness persecuted, love bleeding, meekness about to die. But my heart has a deeper and more bitter cause to mourn. My sins were the scourges which lacerated those blessed shoulders, and crowned with thorn those bleeding brows. My sins cried, "Crucify him, crucify him," and laid the cross upon his gracious shoulders. His being led forth to die is sorrow enough for one eternity, but my having been his murderer is more, infinitely more grief than one poor fountain of tears can express. Why those women loved and wept it were not hard to guess, but they could not have had greater reasons for love and grief than my heart has. Nain's widow saw her son restored, but I myself have been raised to newness of life. Peter's wife's mother was cured of the fever, but I of the greater plague of sin. Out of Magdalene 7 devils were cast, but a whole legion out of me. Mary and Martha were favored with visits, but he dwells with me. His mother bare his body, but he is formed in me the hope of glory. In nothing behind the holy women in debt, let me not be behind them in gratitude or sorrow. Love and grief my heart dividing, with my tears his feet I'll lave, constant still in heart abiding, weep for him who died to save.
Another hope in heaven.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Under the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That, and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts, is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Justifying faith goes to the depths of your trouble, and it says no to any religion of works righteousness. Second thing is that by faith Abel approached God on the basis of the sacrifice of the Lamb. It is very obvious from Genesis chapter 4 and from Hebrews chapter 11 that Abel had received a divine revelation. And we can only assume from God's word to Cain that he also had received that divine revelation as to the one way of approach to God. I say that for three reasons really. Number one, God instituted sacrifice right after the fall when he clothed Adam and Eve with the skins of an animal. Second, we read that by faith Abel offered. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can never have faith without a prior divine revelation. Faith always is a response created by God's grace in the heart to a revelation of his special grace. So, by faith, Abel, God therefore had given him the revelation. Then there's a significant thing in Genesis chapter 4, that when Abel brought of the first thing of the flock, it specifically states that he also brought of the fat thereof. When you turn to the book of Leviticus, you find there that when Moses was given in codified form the law of sacrifice, God laid particular emphasis upon the fat being placed on the altar, and the fat had to be offered. That little reference in Genesis 4 is a very clear reminder that Abel was not just groping in the dark when he brought this lamb. Abel was coming the way that God had revealed and the way that God had demanded. The revelation of God to Adam and to his family was the way back to God for sinners is by the blood sacrifice of the Lamb. You know, that is the uniform message of the Word of God. Throughout the Word of God, that's the message. When Isaac was on the point of death, God provided himself a lamb. When the children of Israel were at the point of death and their firstborn were about to be slain, they were not spared because they were the sons of Jacob. They were not spared because they bore the name of the covenant people. They were spared because God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." The message was, take a lamb, shed his blood, apply his blood, and under the blood you will find redemption. And throughout the Old Testament period, that was God's message. Similarly in the New Testament, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Christ our Passover, that is our Passover Lamb, is slain for us, Paul told the Corinthians. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And throughout the book of the Revelation, the song of praise is to the Lamb who was slain. I tell you, God's message is the message of approach to him on the basis of the sacrifice of the Lamb. Now, faith in Abel's case made that approach. And I tell you, saving faith, justifying faith, always, implicitly, totally commits a poor, lost, guilty sinner to the merits of the blood of the Lamb of God. Now let me just stop off there for a moment. The greatest question you can face today is, do I possess justifying faith? That's the greatest question you can face.
You can believe in God and go to hell. For the devils believe in God and they're in hell, or will be. You can believe in the deity of Jesus Christ and perish. You can believe this Bible is inspired from cover to cover and yet be lost. You can have baptism applied to you and still be lost. The greatest question for you is, do I, by the grace of God, possess justifying faith?
And I think you'll see from the first two simple statements concerning Abel's faith that it's a matter of simplicity. Don't stumble over the simplicity. And a matter of clarity. Something upon which you can be sure. If you have justifying faith today, my friend, you have no doubt that you are a vile, guilty, totally depraved and absolutely wicked sinner whose only personal merit is to go to hell. Now, is that plain? I deliberately use an Irishman's directness of language so that you will not be in any sort of doubt whatsoever. But if you have justifying faith, you'll not just be saying, well, I'm a poor sinner, I'm a wicked sinner, I'm a hell-deserving sinner. No, you'll be saying, Jesus Christ is my only hope of salvation, and I will commit myself totally and entirely to the merits of Jesus Christ. My only approach to God is through the blood of the Lamb. I come to God and I ask Him, save me, receive me, bring me to heaven for the sake of Jesus Christ, through the merits of Jesus Christ, on the basis of what He has done on Calvary's cross. Justifying faith commits the soul entirely to the merits of Christ. It rests its case at the foot of the cross and at the empty tomb. It says, I have no other argument. I want no other plea. It is enough. Underline that word. That is at the heart of the doctrine of Christ's satisfaction, His doing enough. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Abel's faith refused a religion of works righteousness. Abel's faith approached God on the basis of the sacrifice of the Lamb. The third thing then we now can notice is that by faith Abel obtained a divine assurance that he was accepted as righteous in God's sight. Faith in Christ receives a verdict from the throne of God. And that verdict is justification. Now, verdict is a legal term, and justification is a legal term. We read in Romans chapter 4 or 5 verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith means simply that by faith in Jesus Christ, we receive God's testimony that we are accepted as righteous in the sight of Christ. Now I want you to notice the words of Hebrews 11 and 4 very carefully. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Watch it carefully. God testified that Abel was righteous. Why? Because he testified to the lamb that he brought. In other words, if I could bring this into a New Testament context, the assurance of our acceptance with God has an objective basis, namely the merits of Christ. God says you're righteous in my sight. You're accepted. You're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You stand complete in my sight. Why? Because of the perfection of the Savior. Because of the nature of the person and of the work of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of substitutionary grace. God testifies of Christ, and on the basis of what he sees in Christ, he accepts us as righteous. Because justification, as our shorter catechism wonderfully puts it, justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. When God looks at Christ and looks at the believer in Christ, he says, Christ is accepted, and so is the believer. The believer is not accepted alongside of Christ. He's not accepted in addition to Christ. He is accepted in Christ. In him. Faith, the old theologians used to say, was the uniting grace. It was that peculiar act as the gift of God by which we are united to Christ. We are in him by faith. And bless God, in him. What does God find in Christ? Does he find any sin in Christ? No, sir. In Christ, we are in the place where God will account us sinless. What does he find in Christ? Does he find righteousness there? Then in Christ, we are in the place where God will account us righteous.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.